welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am very excited to be back with you again this week to help you let go of fear and shift your life into high gear. Every Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock on the East Coast on WBLQ 1230 AM radio, and anytime on the internet at www.transformationtalkradio.com, you can find me here in dialogue with some of the most gifted coaches and teachers and experts in the field of life transformation and empowerment. I look for the best of the best to help you get back in touch with your deepest dreams, to get motivated, energized, and educated so you can live life full out with more flair and less fear. So today I am very excited about our show because in many ways it's a continuation of the conversation that I started last week with, if you were listening to my show last week, you'll remember that I was in dialogue with a woman who is a best-selling memoir writer. And Maura Conlon McIver and I were in dialogue about the theme of how do we express ourselves into the world and get back in touch with our personal stories and use our childhood narrative to be more creative and express the inner artist that we all have. And today I want to take up the same idea, but really switch gears and for my listeners get really practical, because I think on some level it sounds so great to be able to get in touch with your story and to reframe your childhood experiences and be connected to your creativity. But there's always that nagging question of, well, how do we do that in the real world? How do I take that creative spark and bring it to the real practical fruition, like writing a book, for example? So today I have a world-renowned book writing coach to discuss just how to do that. Her name is Lisa Tappan, and Lisa is an expert on book writing, and she is also an author. She authored a wonderful book called The Ultimate Guide to Transforming Anger, and then she's also a professor and on the faculty of the publishing course at the Harvard Medical School, and many of her clients have been featured on Oprah and in multiple media, magazines, and journals. And I am really excited to welcome her to the show today to get practical with our creativity. So, hello, Lisa.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
I'm well. I'm excited to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, me too. I was just thinking, in fact, about the time that I first reached out to you, which was a few years ago. And, you know, I was at one of those classic moments in my process where I think I knew I had a book in me, and I knew that I had a vision for it being published and being out in the world. But, you know, it's that very, very important moment when you realize that just having the ideas and just having things sort of begin to bubble up into your head doesn't translate into having them out on a printed page. And I know you were very helpful with referrals and information and helping me kind of get a framework of a way to think about it. I'd love to introduce you to our audience to start with, but maybe you could give us a little bit of your background because, you know, you are a writer yourself, and then you've obviously decided to take this experience and turn it into a business of helping people. Maybe you could go back a little bit and share a little bit of how that story, your own story of how that came about.
Sure, I'd love to. And, you know, it's interesting because I got this idea for this book on anger and really didn't have credentials or experience, you know, it was sort of flaky thing in a way. But I think I had an interesting idea of sort of helping people tap into their creativity, their sense of humor, and their inner wisdom when dealing with anger and seeing it more as energy and sometimes a red flag, you know, something that calls our attention. And then, okay, how do we incorporate this? How do we use the information in a way that's healthy? So, you know, I think it was an interesting idea, but it was sort of this long, winding road because it wasn't my area of expertise, but I did team up with experts. And one of the things that happened in writing the book was that Pico and I actually had an angry moment come up where we really needed to communicate in a healthy way, and we ended up coming up with this ritual to kind of heal what had happened between us, to move on with as we wrote. And out of that ritual, I realized, oh wow, you know, this would really help us in the writing all the time. So we used that ritual that we came up with and created a ritual to tap into every time we worked on the book, not just writing, but other times. And it was interesting because we'd be working from very separate spaces, but often would find out we were kind of having a similar intention that day or something like that. I think the ritual really connected us to each other. And so after the book was published and I started doing some work with people with anger, and I realized, you know, I really don't like this working with anger that much.
And you know, it wasn't a lot of fun to spend all your time on anger, I suppose.
Yeah. Right? I teach a workshop and, you know, like these men would come whose wives had, you know, kind of forced them to go. They really were not interested in the workshop and they'd come in with their arms crossed, and I thought, you know, this isn't really fun. And so I thought, well, what do I want to do now? I'm a published author, and I did all the promotion stuff for our book, and we got a lot of national publicity, but what's the next step? And I thought, you know, I think teaching people these five steps for getting into that creative space makes a lot of sense, because it's something I love, and actually, to be honest, the way it came to me was I was in a yoga class and I'd been asking, like, what's next? What's my next step? And it was like a download. You know, I think my spine was very straight and I was suddenly able to sort of receive the transmission or something, but it was just very clear, like, oh, it's teaching people these steps that I took in writing the book. And that did sort of develop into also teaching people to write book proposals and helping them get published, sort of all those other pieces, and helping them write the right book. But it really all started for me with those steps for getting into that creative space.
Wow. I mean, that's such a great story, because clearly you used your own creative process both to inform the book, but then to inform, you know, what you ultimately turned into a business after that. So, I mean, it's fascinating to me that you had that same connection with your own creative spirit that led to the book being written and published, but then also led to your thinking and...
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's often how we all come to this. I think there is that creative spark that gets us to writing a book or gets us to any creative project, and sometimes it's a matter of really staying in touch with that spark.
Yeah, and when you're doing that with your clients, like when people come to you and they say, you know, I would really love to write a book, but I don't even know where to get started. What are some of the things that you start with them on?
Well, I definitely start with their goals. What do you want to get out of this process? What do you hope the book will do for you personally? And then also, you know, who do you imagine writing for? And sometimes out of what they hope the book brings to them, that the audience is obvious, or it may be an audience they're already working with. But really getting clear what they hope their reader to get out of the book, what kind of results and benefits they would get out of it. And then maybe even imagining that reader before the book and after the book and what has changed. And you know, and then any global effects, you know, how is the book going to affect your community? But when we're clear on the goals, then it starts to crystallize a little bit more. And then I like to sort of balance this piece of understanding one's goals and then sort of the publishing community in general and marketing and kind of what sort of book concept is likely to do well in the market, because of course you want to have readers too. You don't want to write a book that never gets into anybody's hands.
Right.
So balancing that piece, and then at the end, after we've sort of talked about all those aspects and what book might make sense, then really going to their muse, and I take them through a visualization where they go into the woods and meet their muse and ask some questions of their muse. And it's interesting because sometimes I'll give them what I know, you know, from a perspective of the markets and publishing and what I'm hearing them say. And then we go to their muse and it's very different, you know, and it's not that common, but occasionally where the muse says, oh, no, you're writing a fiction book, you know, which isn't really my expertise. My expertise is more how-to books, nonfiction. But you know, their muse will be very clear, and yet their muse still wants them to work with me. So then we'll figure out, okay, how does that, their muse see that working? You know, so it really is going for their inner answers, which we don't always have, you know, from our sort of, our more rational mind. We don't necessarily have the answer. It really comes from deep within, that clarity.
Right. You know, it's really interesting the way you're speaking. You're already in your coaching approach. You're kind of weaving back and forth between what I guess I would call the left brain and the right brain approach to creative work. Because, mm-hmm. you know, on the one hand, you're talking very practically with people about the audience and the goals and the, you know, the final product and how you're going to reach people. And then on the other, you're taking them internally to their muse, their creative source. And, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to dig into this more, because this idea of, like, how do you stay in touch with that inner creative spirit and be practical at the same time? I think this is a real challenge for people in our culture, but also around something like as complex as writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
So be thinking about that, Lisa. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I have my expert writing coach, Lisa Tenner, with me on the line, and we will be right back.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am here today with my guest, Lisa Tenner, who is a creativity and writing coach. She helps people unblock their inner writer and get from written page to published book. And just before the break, she was sharing with us some of the steps, some of the practices that she uses with her clients to weave that that narrative between the creative process and the practical application of setting goals, finding an audience, thinking about the process of and learning about the process of getting published. And I want to pick up where we left off, because I think this is a really fascinating theme. And obviously, Lisa, in your coaching, what you do with people is kind of, you know, you work back and forth between what you're calling the muse. And maybe you could say a little bit more about what you mean by that for anybody who might not be, I mean, I think people maybe know what the word means, but you probably have some specifics around what you mean by that.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because actually I taught a workshop recently, and quite a few people in the workshop didn't know what I meant. So that is not necessarily a word that people people do know what it means. But it is comes from the Greek myths, and I think of it as your creative side. So sometimes people see that creativity as coming from inside them, and some people might almost experience it as some outside force, and it really doesn't matter. But it is that sort of creative spark, and often it's sort of fun to do a visualization where you're connecting with your muse and see what comes up. For some people, it might be an animal or a wise person, and for other people, you know, I've had people say their muse was the ocean or a color or light or, you know, something much more ethereal. So it varies, and your muse may change too when you do that exercise different times. But
how do you then get people to use that muse in their writing or their creativity?
Well, the way we use it is really going in and asking the muse, first of all, thanking the muse always, and asking the muse for some guidance, asking some very specific questions. And often it is helpful to have a person asking you, facilitating you in the process, because it does sort of create a container for you to go deep and go within. Sometimes it's a little harder to do on your own, but sometimes it really works well on your own, too, just to close your eyes and imagine going on this path in a meadow and into the woods and, you know, noticing what you notice as you go to this clearing where there is some kind of structure. You open the door and there's your muse waiting for you. And just to see how your muse shows up that day and ask some questions. Sometimes your muse has a gift for you. You can always ask for gifts or give gifts to your muse. But it's such an amazing process. You know, every time I do it, I'm inspired, you know, by it, because there's, you know, our muse is playful and funny and then sometimes also just very matter of fact, and, you know, like, you know what to do, just go do it. You know, it just varies a lot. Sometimes people have said my muse won't even turn towards me.
I love that.
And, you know, I think some of it too is this is a relationship. And so if it's a relationship you have not been putting energy into, then you may not get full cooperation right away. Your muse may really need to learn to trust you. And so your muse may want you to prove yourself a little bit before you're going to get more information. Your muse may give you a little bit, or your muse may kind of give you the sense that you need to go do something and then come back and earn your muse's trust.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, it's funny because you're pointing to actually one of the key themes in my book, which is that in order to reinvent ourselves or to renew ourselves, that we have to get back in touch with our inner story. And one of the ways we do that is by getting in dialogue with ourselves. And you're talking about kind of some of the access routes that people use to do that. I love this idea of the muse and, you know, kind of giving you pointers or giving you flashpoints or sparks for connecting to your creative story. Like, what is your passion? What do you most care about?
Mm-hmm.
And but then it's interesting because you also then sort of switch gears with your clients, because you did this with me, and focus us on the practical. Like, so, okay, now that you have this great idea and you're inspired and your muse is prompting you to get that written page moving, how does that translate into actually writing a book? So how do you go about sort of switching gears and moving back and forth with your clients?
That's a good question. I guess, you know, one of the things that we do is really get clear. You know, we keep going back to those goals because the goals keep clarifying, you know, how that we're on the right path. And
right.
So if somebody goes to their muse, excuse me, and gets some direction, and then it doesn't feel to me like it's going to be very marketable, you know, we'll look at those goals again and see, you know, how do we do that? And we might come up with some creative ways or go to the muse again for more clarity and explain to the muse, look, this is part of my goal and this doesn't look very marketable. You know, how do we trust that we're in the right place? But usually I find that the guidance from the muse just easily fits in with the direction we're knowing. You know, our muses are pretty savvy, too, I think. They know about markets, too. So as long as we're clear about our goals and we communicate that clearly with our muse, they really do seem to flow together.
Yeah, when you're thinking about this, you know, I know I kind of, it's a tough question, you know, how do you navigate back and forth between sort of a creative spirit and the free flow that's required and the practical side, like the market and the audience. I think in many cases what we're, you know, when we're talking about is writing a book that's designed to help people. I mean, you're really kind of looking at nonfiction kinds of things, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, I think a piece of it is that there are pieces that you do in that very rational brain piece, and then there are pieces that you do when you're more in that creative space. And so one of the things I do with my clients is I suggest that they use ritual to get into that space where the writing flows. And so before the ritual, you know, there are those pieces that use the more rational brain, focusing on what are my goals and, you know, what do I want to work on today, what's important today to be writing about. And then to sort of go into that process where they're more creative. But if they've already worked on an outline, which I strongly encourage, then that outline is going to be the piece that gives the structure, that gives that, you know, rational brain piece that allows them to go deep into that creative space without necessarily... without sort of getting lost in there, right? That it really has some structure to it, and it flows with the whole, and it makes sense as a whole. And I guess the other piece is, when I'm writing, I don't think I'm in one brain or the other. I think both are communicating all the time, and there is a piece that's very much the creative and a piece that's very much the rational, and they're really working together. And I think maybe the ritual helps you get in a space where both those parts of you are working together. So there is this flow back and forth, and it's seamless, right? You're not thinking, oh, okay, now to my left brain. Okay, now to my right brain. Back to the left brain. You know, it's just seamless, right?
Yeah, that's perfect, because I think that this idea of being in dialogue with yourself, like connecting to your muse, is, you know, analogous. It's similar to being in dialogue with between your logical or left brain and your fluid or more imaginal right brain, that, as you said, they're both part of you. And the idea that you're kind of really pointing toward is that to get a creative project like a book, especially like a nonfiction book where you're going to try to help people with something specific out into the world, you really have to weave those two sides together. Because, you know, if it's just a how to do this, do that, then it's not going to be exciting for people. It's not going to motivate and energize them. And if it's just a fluid, like, share my thoughts and poems, then that doesn't create a book that becomes useful to people. So, you know, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I want to continue this theme that we're on, Lisa, about back and forth weaving the muse, the creative process, and the practical, and maybe take it a couple steps further into then when you bring people like an agent and a publisher and the marketing into the process, how do you not lose that creative muse along the way? So we will be back in just a moment. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com. And download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And my guest today, Lisa Tenner, and I were just talking about this magical roadmap that we all navigate when we're trying to create something artistic and bring it out into the world. And in this case, Lisa helps people specifically with bringing the book that they have in them out into the world. And I was just asking her to explain in more detail how she goes back and forth between what she's calling the creative muse energy and then the practical sort of goal setting and outline kind of format, and thinking about the audience. And let's take it one step further, Lisa, and talk a little bit, maybe a chance for you to really talk a little bit about the programs that you run, because I think what you do is much more than just helping people get in touch with their creative muse and forming the template for a book, but also supporting them with programs that help them formalize and discipline and write every day and actually get the book written. So,
yeah,
I mean, I know
so
for a fact
pieces,
you do
right?
that.
As you know, having written a book, there's so many pieces to it. How do I make the time?
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the process and the steps that you take your clients through.
Okay, so there is that piece that we talked about before about really getting in touch with the goals and who is my audience. And then, you know, one of the things as you were speaking reminded me that I also have people actually picture this person they're writing the book to, and it may be someone out of their imagination or someone real, but to really write the book to that person. And when you do that, it becomes a much more intimate conversation, and it naturally, you know, has more specific details, and it becomes more real for the reader. So that's a great trick. And I think a way that you can be in that creative space but also be very right on with some of the, I guess, you know, you might even say practical marketing pieces, which is really, really resonating for your audience, your reader. But so in terms of the programs, I do have some book writing programs, and I do them both by teleseminar and also live in person in Narragansett, Rhode Island. And in the classes, you know, we'll start really with some of those practical pieces of what did I say I do, what did I do, what worked, what didn't, and what's next. And it's such a powerful exercise because, you know, we don't get into the story, but we get really clear about what's working and what's not. And the next steps come so clearly out of that. It's just an easy way to access our power.
Let me stop you for 1 second just to clarify. When you say what's working and not working, is that in terms of the writing or in terms of the proposal or the plan, or is it both?
That's usually in terms of the writing itself.
The writing, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is more the book writing. And, you know, and even if you're doing it on your own, you can ask yourself those questions. And I think, you know, if you're getting off track, which happens to everybody, right? We have a week where we get off track, and the big difference is if you're going to be successful, you get back on versus...
Right.
You know, versus not. So ask yourself those questions. You can also reach out for support. And, you know, that's one of the biggest values of being, I think, in a group and writing a book is, you know, here you are doing this very solitary activity often, and yet when you've got the power of the group, you've suddenly got this support and accountability that sort of buoys you along, particularly in those tough times where you get off track. And I think the other thing that's so powerful about being in a group that I've been seeing a lot of this time around, too, is, you know, people come in with a chapter or some ideas, and they get feedback that just helps them go deeper. And often, you know, I'm seeing a lot of, in these how-to books lately, just they're getting more and more creative and fun and engaging. And there's that thing about the group mind, you know, we're just more creative beings when we're working together. And so, you know, it's sort of sad that, you know, we think that book writing has to be such a solitary activity, because I think some of our best work as humans comes when we interact with others, and it just naturally makes it sparkle more.
I love what you're saying, because having been through the process myself, I have to say that the dynamic duality of having to sit in front of the computer or with that writing pad by yourself, and it does feel very isolating, and you do have to kind of force yourself to stay connected to the creative discipline, the creative inspiration, and then having a coach and then having an editor, having various people at the publishing company help me and give me feedback, it made a huge difference. So I can totally get that. I mean, I almost wish maybe the next time around I'll join one of your writing groups so that I can get that support earlier on in the process, because I think there is something to be said for kind of getting out of your own head, right, and getting into dialogue, not just with yourself, but with other people, especially if you're writing something that you hope is going to help other people, because if it resonates with them, then you know you're on the right track.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing is, you know, we can't see what we can't see. So when somebody comes along and, you know, points something out, you know, it can change everything in a heartbeat. And suddenly you realize, oh, I can do this, and that's going to make everything so much clearer, or this is going to make it so much more fun, or it's going to make it so much more engaging. And I think that's one of the things that's particularly come up for some of the how-to books, is they were sort of stories and how-to type, you know, instruction, and maybe a few exercises. And then as people have been sharing in class, the exercises have been becoming more and more creative, and more minds are sort of working on it. Well, what if you did this, and what if you did that? And it suddenly becomes much more creative than, I think, something that one mind tends to come up with. And, you know,
yeah.
I think about TV. In TV, you know, nobody's sitting there writing a TV show by themselves. They do it in groups. And I think there's a reason, because we are so creative in groups. And I think in movies it's interesting, because it's really moved more and more towards groups writing movies. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens as groups write books, you know. But in the class, it's very much it's your book. But still getting that input, just it's so beautiful to see how it just takes things a step further.
That's great. I want to ask you one, since I am a psychologist, I have to ask one psychological question.
Okay.
Because I think it's something that I see in my clients, I find in myself, and I'm curious how you work with your groups and your clients around this. And that is, you know, one of the things that causes many of us to get stuck and get into that fear energy or the anxiety is criticism. You know, like you criticize yourself and you're fearful of getting criticism from other people. I remember the feeling I had when I sent my first proposal off to the agent, and the feedback from my first interaction with the editor. And what do you do with your clients to help them either deal with their the idea of being judged or criticized, or deal with their inner critic? what can you offer around that? Because I'm sure you've run up against that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in class, it, you know, a lot of it is about creating a safe environment, and that really the feedback shouldn't sound like criticism. So it's very much, you know, I'll ask questions about what did you like, what did you want more of, where were you lost. And where were you lost? You know, I think that's not too judgmental a question because we can really hear that, oh, yeah, this wasn't clear. I need to clarify this piece. But but it's really about asking the right questions, I think. When you're getting feedback, one of the things I really warn people against is really think about who you're asking for feedback. Now, you know, when it's your editor, your publishing house, you're going to need to you've already gotten your editor, you know, that you don't have a lot of options. But, you know, are you going to show your spouse? And often, you know, it might be better not to because, you know, especially if your spouse sort of has their own issues about succeeding or expressing themselves fully, you know, it may come out in the feedback they give you. So sometimes it's better to go with other people who are in your market. You know, your audience is perfect because they're going to tell you where they're lost or tell you where they really needed more or, well, you haven't addressed this whole area that's really critical to be. So that's a really good group. And always give them questions because sometimes you'll have the opposite problem where they just say, oh, it's great. Loved it.
Yeah.
And so give them specific questions so they can give you valuable feedback. But, yeah, be careful about who you choose. And when you do feel, when you do get feedback, and if you do feel very negative after, ask yourself, did this person provide the feedback in a way that was constructive or destructive? And if constructive, then it's more about the message I'm telling myself. But if it's destructive, then, okay, that's not a person I'm going to trust anymore. So it is, that's a very sensitive and vulnerable area. If it is more that internal message, you know, you can work with ritual, you can work with a coach, and, again, going to your muse. Because when we go to that inner wisdom, that creative part of us, I think sometimes we clear it on more an energetic level. We don't have to, it's just something in us, like, clicks into place. It shifts when we go to that inner wisdom. And so that can be a powerful way to do it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think that there's a place for being very thoughtful in our lives about who we go to for support. I mean, I think that that's an important piece in trying to support our clients and ourselves through some of those stuck places when we're apt to get highly self-critical or shut down. We're going to take one more break.
Tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue today with Lisa Tenner, who is a writing coach and has a number of different programs that she uses to support people. And as I said just before the break, kind of taking your creativity from inside your soul onto the page and out into the world. I think that it's actually really exciting that in today's world, it's much easier than it used to be to write a book. You can publish it yourself. You can find a publisher. And yet at the same time, it's still a major creative undertaking. And Lisa and I have been talking about how to get through creative blocks and how to go back and forth between the creative muse and the practical side. In our last few minutes, I want Lisa to talk a little bit about the dynamics and support she gives her clients around publishing in terms of working with agents and self-publishing versus finding a publisher, because certainly there's a lot going on in the publishing industry, and Lisa's an expert in this area. So, Lisa, I'm just going to ask you to jump in and share some of your wisdom and insights that you've been learning from your recent clients on what's happening in the publishing industry and what should people be thinking about if they want to write a book.
Okay, great. Well, one of the things that's come up recently a lot is platform. And, you know, that's really about the following that you have, online and offline. So social media, blogging, radio show, however you're reaching people, speaking engagements. But it is pretty important, whatever your book, that you have a way you're already reaching people if you want to get a publisher. And so, you know, recently I just had a call on Monday from one of my clients saying they just got a six-figure offer for her book. And, you know,
that's really exciting news.
They haven't signed, so I can't share details. But what I can say is a big piece of it was that, you know, she didn't have a platform, and she really worked at that and also decided to invite a collaborator who had more of a platform. So there are lots of ways to get at it, but you're really going to need to think that piece through, because just a good idea is not enough nowadays, and we're really seeing a lot of that. You know, the other thing is there are lots of benefits to self-publishing. So if you want a book fast, if you're thinking, you know, I really want to attract more of a certain ideal clients, or I really want to get more high-profile speaking engagements, then self-publishing is not a bad idea. It might be a great way to start to affect your business quickly rather than waiting, you know, a couple years. You know, the process takes time
right.
to go through
yep.
a publisher. And so, you know, again, you don't want a shoddy product. You want a quality product, but it could be a shorter book. It could be that you write one book that you self-publish, and then later you decide to write another one that you traditionally publish. But self-publishing can be a way to get to your audience that you want to reach with your goals more quickly.
Do you find the majority of your clients are going one way or the other, or is it kind of split down the middle, or how do you, in one of your groups, for example, what would be the breakout between people thinking about self-publishing versus trying to get a regular agent publisher?
I'd say the self-publishing is about two-thirds in my book writing classes and one-third traditional publishing. And then sometimes people switch over. They're thinking they're going to self-publish, and then as we get into it and we hit on some exciting pieces and they realize, you know, this seems to have enough traction maybe to look for a traditional publisher. So sometimes we'll see a little bit of crossover. And with the private client work, I'd say the majority of my private clients are looking to do a book proposal and get a traditional publisher. And that's probably partly because if people are just looking for editing and they're not in one of my book writing classes, I'll often refer them to a colleague. And then the projects that I'm really working on tend to be the book proposals with private clients. Not always, not exclusively, but to a large degree.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have, you know, as you know, kind of gone through the process of getting an agent and getting a proposal and then a publishing contract with a major publisher. I was asking about the impact of the transition in the publishing industry around you know, the iPhone and the Kindle and the idea that people, you know, in my world, the idea of having a publisher may or may not even be necessary in the future.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I think nobody knows for sure.
Right.
But all we know is that there are so many different options nowadays. And so it really becomes, you know, a matter of going back to your goals, what's going to best meet my particular goals. And, you know, there are so many exciting frontiers right now. As you said, the iPad applications. And with Kindle now, they have Kindle singles.
Right. I just read about that.
Yeah, much shorter, not even necessarily a book, but something that's more equivalent of a few chapters. So lots more ways, I think, to reach people. Yet I think there's always going to be a certain cachet with having a traditional publisher, maybe a top publisher, that makes it easier to get on national TV, that makes it easier to be in the bookstores that are left standing. So, you know, I think there's always going to be a place for traditional publishing, but it's not necessarily going to be the place you want to go for a particular book. And you may find different books mean different places. You know, I have books that I'm thinking, as you are, you know, maybe this makes more sense to self-publish. Maybe this one makes more sense to put on an iPad. So I think a lot of us are sort of playing with what are some of the different things we could do. And then there's always that place, I think, for traditional books, like that client who just called me Monday with that news. You know, that's sort of the ultimate, I think, often, depending on what your goals are.
Yeah, it's like the idea is to try to stay positive and to see all these changes and transitions in the industry as opportunities, right, as opposed to the end of books as we know it.
Absolutely. I mean, personally, I love books, so I'm not – and I don't think – one of my clients writes on the effects of sort of the all the electronic devices on children's brains. So I'm not really going to be – you know, I work at a computer already enough. I'm not going to be reading my books on the computer. I can promise you that. And I think there are people like me who, you know, who just want to hold a book in their hands. But you know, there also is a place for all these other things. And I think it's good news for us in many ways because there's so many different ways you can reach people. And some of it is really knowing your audience. Where do they want to find you? Are they looking for books? Are they looking for, you know, Kindle singles? Where are they looking?
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show, and we're going to wrap up here, and I want you to take a minute to give everyone all the different ways that you recommend that they try to reach you. So you have a website.
I have a website. It's lisatenner.com. It's LISATENER.com. And there they can sign up for a free 1 week e-class that'll get them started with book writing. And you can also sign up there for my biweekly writing and publishing tips. And those are both ways that you can get started. I also have a blog, and you can get there from the homepage, where it's lisatenner.com/blog. And, you know, please, if you have questions about publishing, questions about writing, ask on the blog, and I'm happy, ask us a comment, and I'm happy to either answer in that same post as another comment, or to start a new blog post if it's something that's sort of a big arena and maybe not related directly to the particular post. So that's a great way to get questions answered. And people can certainly email me, lisa@lisatenner.com, if they want to explore coaching or the book writing classes. And
that's great.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, because I having as a satisfied former client and as someone who never hesitates to refer my personal clients to you for support and feedback, I know that what you're trying to do with people is really, really important and really, really positive. That you know, there's a writer or a creative artist in all of us. And so I am always thrilled to have someone like you who's out there really helping people tap into the, as you say, their muse and get that muse work out into the world. So thank you, Lisa. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we are wrapping up, folks, another wonderful week on Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I want to remind you that you can find me on the internet at www.jeffreyhull.com and also www.life-shifting.com, where I welcome your feedback and your questions and suggestions for the show. And I look forward to seeing you next week. And in the meantime, have a great week, everyone. Take care.